This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Oh, yes. Arsenal 5. Chelsea 0. That's a 0, that is. Give a little Martin Odegaard celebration. That's a 0. It's a 0. Oh, beautiful scenes. This is the Arsenal Raw Reaction Show. Hello and welcome to the Gunner Tour. Back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Raw Reaction Show, the Arsenal Raw Reaction Show. Joining you every morning, 8 a.m. bright and early, straight after the previous fixture. And this one is a good one. This one is an excellent one. This one is a beautiful one because Arsenal winning against Chelsea is not just a lovely part of anybody's day. Anybody's day, you know, be them an Arsenal fan, be them just anyone, really. You know, you can list all the different types of people if you want. But for anyone, I guess other than Chelsea fans, anyone else, it's a lovely day. And yesterday was a lovely day. Now, I will address the high-vis elephant in the room, first of all. If you're listening on audio platforms, you won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But I made a promise that I would buy the Arsenal away shirt with Kai Havertz on the back if Arsenal won the league. Now, I also promised that I'd sing the Waka Waka song. I'm not singing the song today because we haven't won the league. And I will stick to that. I will stick to that promise that I will sing the song. The show will open with that if, and it is a big, big if, because I still very much believe that Man City will win the league. But if Arsenal win the league, you will get it. You're not getting it now. He has to score at least 7 in a game for me to break that promise. But some very, very kind people in our Discord server, I won't name them because they may or may not want to be named, but a collection of our fantastic and loyal members in our Discord server, all the way back in November, actually bought me a birthday present. I received this birthday present because of logistics and travel and stuff like that. About 2 weeks, I think it was. Maybe it was before the buy-in game. I think it was before the buy-in game. I received that gift just before the buy-in game. And that gift was indeed this shirt. But it doesn't have Kai Havertz on the back. It has something even better.
It's got Batman on the back.
A certain Mr. Santi Cazorla is on the back of this shirt. Because I think they may have picked up on saying that the reason why I got the Real Oviedo shirt with Santi Cazorla on the back was because I never had an Arsenal shirt with my favourite Arsenal player on the back of the shirt, and fair play to them. And best community on the platform by a long, long way. Now, I'm very appreciative of the gift, and I really, really genuinely do appreciate it. I still hate the shirt. It does not change my mind about how much I like or dislike this shirt I look like an idiot, but it is what it is. It's a very kind gesture, and I'm very appreciative for it. It's worth it just for the memes, to be honest. So thank you to my very kind, brilliant, and generous members in the Discord server who wanted to send a birthday gift all the back of the November. But of course, it got delayed until now. But there you go. Right. James says, hi, Viz Elephant. Don't put yourself down like that, Tom. Brilliant. Right, let's jump into the chat, shall we? Good morning to NSW, to Pikahu, to Shari, to Popeye. Good morning to Carla Maximius. We've got Paul. We've got Granddaddy Guna, Paul. We've got Enchanted Edition, Cape Town. We've got Blackshine and Knowledge and Chris, Emeka, Zuko. We've got Tom. We've got Khan, Damien, Grantley Poos, Tony, No Fox Given, Jack, Kish, and plenty more. Thank you to all of you. Really appreciate your time and your loyalty. As always, incredibly humbling. Do drop a like on the video. Do help us reach to 1K every single day as we continue this brilliant journey on the way to whatever this season may hold. Right, we kick off. Arsenal 5, Chelsea 0. Yet another glorious high-scoring performance with nearly everything we could have wanted. The only thing that was missing was maybe a Havertz hat-trick. I wanted a sixth goal because it would have been very poetic considering the Wenger 1,000th game situation. But I'll take five. I'm very happy with five. It creates a very good situation for Arsenal. It puts them in an excellent position for momentum going into the North London Derby at the weekend. Arsenal are in the best place they could possibly be with just four games to go. And yeah, absolutely brilliant stuff there. Leandro Trossard scoring again. As I have maintained and said on numerous occasions, Leandro Trossard is the best finisher at the club. There was a lot of talk about the goalkeeper, saying that the goalkeeper shouldn't be beaten at his near post. But if we're being 100% honest with ourselves, we all know that a strike of that speed, that power, that accuracy, it doesn't matter how well, how good the goalkeeper is. At the end of the day, you aren't saving that. You're just not saving that. And he wasn't able to react quickly enough, completely unsurprisingly so. And Leandro Trossard smashes in an early goal. And to be honest, at that point, I was like, okay, I think this could be a pretty good afternoon. And it turned out to be that. But I would say that it did take some time for that to materialize. I thought we would go 2-3-4, to be honest, in the first half. I think that it was kind of frustrating that we weren't getting the second, the third, and the fourth in the first half. And we had to wait to the second. I'm not moaning, of course. But I think there was a feeling that after we got that early goal, this could be anything. It ended up being a very good scoreline, of course, in the end. But I felt like maybe we would go full tilt and really smash them in the first half and kind of put the game beyond all doubt. But sometimes what happens is, like, you can be leading like 3-0 at halftime and then you kind of slack off because that's the message at halftime. You've got the lead, hold on to it, don't do anything silly, don't overcommit, XYZ. But when you're sent out in the second half with the message that you need to go and get the second, you never really get the message communicated to be a little bit more restrained and make sure that you see the game out. So they just kept on going. And I really kind of like that. I never like when a team is leading like 4, 5, 6 at halftime and then just stops. It really frustrates me. I just want to see them score 7, 8, 9, 10 because I think goal difference is going to be really important come the end of the season. And we'll talk about that very shortly indeed. Now, what is there left to say about Kai Havertz at this stage? Oh, the glorious ironic tweeting at halftime from fans still frustrated, still annoyed, moaning about him not quick enough, too lazy, XYZ, all this stuff being said about Kai Havertz at halftime. But goodness me, did he respond. And he celebrated, which was just the icing on the cake and then the cherry on top, because against Chelsea, a team that, let's be honest, just absolutely kicked this guy to the curb, he won them a Champions League. Against Manchester City, scored in the biggest goal of the biggest goal in the biggest game of their club history, and he scores the winning goal. And they kicked him to the curb and smack talked him so much, so much. And I don't blame the man for celebrating in this sense. I don't blame the guy celebrating in this way whatsoever. Absolutely adore Kai Havertz, brilliant footballer. What a finisher as well. I know he had a couple of other chances as well. You could argue he could have done better. I'll tell you what, when he passed that ball to Trossard and it got intercepted in the box, I was shouting at my television screen thinking, why the you know what? Are you not taking a strike in that position? And I think maybe that was probably hammered into him somewhat at halftime, because obviously when the opportunity came to score his two goals, the second one in particular, it was only one thing on his mind, and that was scoring the first goal. What a finish. Smashing it straight past Petrovic under pressure from Cucurella. But the star of that moment was Ødegaard, but I'll talk about him very shortly. Second goal, again, a really nice finish, good movement. For a big guy, he gets the ball out of his feet really well at times. Sometimes he can struggle, but for a big guy who's kind of a bit lanky, me and him share that. But, well, I've got lankier recently, but maybe 6 months ago, not so much the case. But Kai Havertz certainly manages to get the ball out of his feet really, really well. Stuart here says, Havertz or Doku? I was being sent tweets yesterday, just like links to pictures of how they're stacking up against the likes of James Maddison and Doku, and the tweets regarding kind of where they're both at. Of course, you all probably know by now that myself and Dan Potts have a bet going on at the moment. That bet is who would get more goal contributions in the Premier League, James Maddison or Kai Havertz. I believe Kai is now 5 ahead with 4 games to go. I'm feeling pretty darn good. The question is, what am I going to do with Dan Potts' money at this stage? I'm going to be that arrogant now. I'm talking as if we've won already. It could all change. James Maddison could have an unbelievable end to the season. You never know. But the question is, what are we going to do with Dan Potts' £100? Or if and when we win this bet. I am going to be donating it to charity, but it's going to be a case of deciding which charity we should send that money to. But I'm already saying, as if I'm one. It's not one yet. Things could change dramatically and rapidly. So, yes, where will that money be going? We'll see. But I'm feeling pretty good about that bet right now. And I just have to bring this up as well. You won't see this if you're listening on back on audio, but you can go over to the Chelsea Twitter page if you want to see what I'm talking about. Just the absolute saltiness of Chelsea's Twitter feed when they don't name who scored Arsenal's goals for the third and fourth. They name White scoring the second and scoring the fifth goal. And then when Kai Havertz scores the third and fourth, it just says goal to the Gunners and then goal to Arsenal. Don't say who scored it. It's like, sorry, admin. Sorry, mate. I'm sorry that the old guy that you used to absolutely batter and everyone in your fan base absolutely hates for some reason is scoring and just absolutely dropping goals on you like it's going out of fashion. I just found that so funny. That was great. So I had to bring that up on the show. And then we got to talk about Ben White, because my goodness me. I mean, he says, this is a quote from him. He says, a bad touch and it went in. But now I'm claiming that's a Ben White screamer. I don't know about you, but I'm claiming this is a Ben White screamer. 100%. It's not being taken away from us. This was a Ben White screamer, and it's in all of its majesty. Fantastic strike, fantastic goal from Ben White, who volleyed the ball brilliantly over Petrovic's head into the side netting like a esteemed, very well-storied striker. And I'd bank on him to score that a million times over if he was in the same position. By the way, what a pass from Martin Ødegaard again in that moment. And I'll come on to Ødegaard in a second. But Thomas Partey started this game, his first start for Arsenal since the Community Shield when playing in midfield alongside Declan Rice. He's obviously played a few games at the start of the season at right back, but this was the first start in midfield alongside Declan Rice since that Community Shield victory over Manchester City. And it was a performance in which you have to turn around and say, my goodness me, how much have we missed performances like this from Partey? The passing was sublime at times. The little flicks, the quick movement. And it makes you question, of course, how fit he was. If he was as good as this, why wasn't he able to play in some of the games against Bayern? Why wasn't he able to start some of the games like against Aston Villa? You've got to ask those questions, you know, and it's frustrating. I'm sure there's a very good reason. They felt he wasn't yet ready enough to start games, and they felt this was the perfect game to start Partey, it seemed. And Arteta said that as much after the game. He said that they felt like this was the perfect game to start him in. But I think, you know, it's very interesting. And also, I had a couple of people tweeting me yesterday saying, does this change kind of where we're at with Partey for next season? He's got 1 year left on his contract. What do we do? And in my mind, Arsenal still need to go out into the market and sign a midfielder, because we can't rely on Thomas Partey staying fit and being available. And that has always been the biggest crux of his time with Arsenal, is the fact we don't know whether or not he's going to be you know, be able to be relied upon to start games. But when he does start games and can be in as good a form as we saw yesterday, and I hope that he starts, of course, at the weekend against Tottenham, because I think he's going to be very important in that game as well, then I think we've got a great chance of winning the winning at Spurs for a second season running. Really important performance for him, really good response from him. And yeah, it was a really stunning display in the end. But Martin Odegaard takes the man of the match by a comfortable margin. I don't care if your right back scores two goals and keeps a clean sheet. I don't care if Kai Havertz turns up against his old side and scores a brace. I don't care if Thomas Partey starts his first game in ages and plays brilliant. I don't care if Declan Rice performs absolutely excellently. I don't care if Gabriel puts in a very, very good defensive performance. I don't care what anybody else on that field did, because there was one player that stood out head and shoulders above the rest for the energy, the touches, the technical skill, the execution of the passes, the chances created, the assist that he got, and the overall performance. Martin Odegaard is a world-class footballer, and there is absolutely nothing that nobody can say in the other direction to make any sense without looking like an insane asylum escapee, because he is unbelievable. This player takes Arsenal to the next level. This player, as Arsenal's captain, as a player still at an exceptionally young age, is moving in a direction of player in the Premier League that we have not seen since, I'm telling you, Kevin De Bruyne first came on the scene back in the Premier League after moving back from Wolfsburg. This is the career trajectory I see for this man. This is the direction that I see Martin Odegaard going in. He is going to become, if he stays fit, which is obviously a big thing, because at the start of his Arsenal career, he did have some injury issues, but he's managed to stay relatively fit besides that hip issue and the concussion that he suffered at the start of the season. If he continues like this, if he continues to move forwards in this direction and progress and implement his abilities and games as important as this one on consistent enough basis, he will move into a bracket of player that he, frankly, with his ability, deserves to be with. He's not there yet. I'm not saying he's Kevin De Bruyne yet. I'm not saying he's at that level yet. But what he is doing at his age is putting him in a trajectory towards that goal, towards that level of player. For me, he's already world class. But to get to an elite level, to stand out amongst all others, he has to go out and score and assist and play at this level consistently and regularly and turn up in some more big games too, don't get me wrong. But my goodness me, what a player he is. Stunning, stunning footballer. Now, this is the team that Mikel Arteta built. This is some team that Mikel Arteta has put together with the help, of course, of the recruitment team and Edu and everybody else that's involved in that. They've done a brilliant job in building this squad. And the decisions that they've made have been, you know, near perfect. You know, it's not completely perfect, but near perfect in terms of getting this team to a position where it can now compete at the top level, that it's moving in a really positive direction, that it looks like it's establishing itself at this level for the foreseeable future. There was only one gripe I had with yesterday's game. You know what I'm going to say. Why on earth is Bukayo Saka playing 82 minutes? I don't know. Take him off, please. Take him off sooner. I'm going to say it until I'm red in the face, which I might be going already. Just take him off a little bit earlier, please. He didn't need to be on for 82 minutes. We need him at the weekend. He wasn't having an amazing game. You know, we took players off in the 72nd minute after we went 3-0 up. Why he wasn't amongst those players, why he was still on the field. We could have brought Vieira on earlier. I don't know. But Saka was better than he was. But just bring him off. Just give him some more rest. Just give him a little bit more, please. Just a little bit more. I'd love to see Vieira come on sooner, because I thought Vieira was actually really, really good when he came on the field. When you see him play, when you see him give a little bit of freedom, I think there's something there. There is something there. He just needs to get more minutes. He needs to play a little bit more consistently. And, you know, with the fact he can play and come on for Saka, we've got an excuse when we're winning games to bring Vieira on now, you know. So please, please save Saka when we can. Now, what does this mean, of course, for the Premier League situation? Of course, it means that we're Arsenal are top of the table. 4 points clear of Manchester City. They have two games in hand. They play against Brighton on Thursday. Of course, Liverpool can catch Arsenal if they win their game. Tonight, they're playing against Everton away from home in the Merseyside derby. Everton, of course, fresh off their 2-0 win over Nottingham Forest. They will want to win this game. It's a really important game for them to win. And hopefully they can do, I say Arsenal a favour. If Arsenal win all their games, Liverpool aren't going to be a problem. But I mean, Nottingham Forest and Luton, you know, by no means have got are down or out of it. Everton could still be in a little bit of danger, but if they win today against Liverpool, it would almost confirm their safety. So there's a lot of motivation for Everton in this game. Hopefully it can send them through. But the biggest kind of thing to look at from this table right now is the goal difference. Arsenal on plus 56, Liverpool on plus 43, 13 behind. Manchester City on plus 44 and are 12 behind Arsenal at the moment. They do have two games in hand, though. If they were to win those two games, you'd imagine that might close up. It could close up considerably. Man City can score goals very, very easily. So you never know what they might do. But getting that 5-0 win, I cannot tell you how important that was. Because if it was just a 1-0 win, you know, if Arsenal just beating Chelsea 1-0 and we were on a plus 52 goal difference, and Man City had two games in hand, you never know how that could have closed things up. So really important. Yeah, you're right, Kazang. Man United are on minus one, somehow sitting in seventh place in the league. Chelsea actually would have gone above Manchester United had they have won yesterday, but that has sent them very firmly slamming back down into that ninth position in the table. But yeah, it's exciting. I wanted Arsenal to be in a title race all the way to the end, and I'm really hoping that that's going to be the case. We petered out last season, we fell away at the last few games, and ultimately we handed the title to City by losing against Brighton at home and losing away at Nottingham Forest, and we handed the league to City. I hope that we push them all the way. If we end up losing the league in the final game of the season, if it goes to the final game, it's going to be an amazing spectacle. I really hope that we do win every single game that we've got left. It's not going to be easy. We've still got Spurs this weekend. We've then got Bournemouth at home. We've then got to go to Manchester United. There's two huge games that Arsenal have got. But we've only got two more away games. Manchester City have got three. Liverpool have got three. And we are in some really, really good form. And I tell you what, Man City aren't infallible. You know, they have shown to be somewhat unstable at times, and I think they can be got at. So let's just keep our fingers crossed. Let's just focus on ourselves for the most part. Let's keep those fingers crossed that we are doing what we need to do, and we can get those results. Right, let's go to part two then, and your thoughts and questions right after this.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, we're going to jump into the chat box and have a look at what you guys and girls are saying regarding yesterday's game and the grander context of the league with just four games to go. Amberley says, I think Chelsea are back on plus one or something. We basically wiped out their goal difference. They're on plus four now. They were on plus nine before this game. They're now on plus four, which, to be fair, is still the best of those around them. Man United on minus one, West Ham on minus nine down in eighth, Chelsea on plus four, Brighton on plus two, Wolves on minus seven, Fulham on minus four, Bournemouth on minus 12. They do have the best goal difference of the teams around them still, despite their humbling yesterday. Tom says, any City draw would be glorious. It would indeed. Let's keep those fingers crossed that turns out to be the case. Nadim says, what is Odegaard's value now? He is priceless. Absolutely priceless. Nick says, Chelsea smashed Everton. Don't hold out for them to get anything against Liverpool. I'm not necessarily holding out too much, but it's Premier League football. You can always hope. Francisco says, when White scores, I remember Tom. It's just a great moment when Ben White scores, especially when he scores a goal as special as that one, even though it was maybe unintentional. It was still a brilliant, brilliant goal. The process is, I know you hate hypotheticals, but how do you think things would have worked out if we signed Sterling instead of Jesus? Goodness me, I don't really want to think about that. Reece says, Tom, do you think the subs that didn't get on haven't got a future next season? Of Of course, we're kind of talking about players like Eddie Nketiah, Emil Smith Rowe. To be fair, Kivio didn't come on, but I do think he's still got very much a future at Arsenal. So, yeah, it's Ramsdale, Smith Rowe, and Nketiah were the only players that didn't come off the bench. I think Kivio has definitely got a future. But Nketiah, Smith Rowe, and Ramsdale, I think there is a good chance that they could leave in the summer. So it's certainly one to keep an eye on. Jason says, how would you rate Saliba's performance yesterday? Tommy seemed he was a bit tired and lacking pace against Jackson. Jackson is a very fast player, it's worth pointing out. Saliba did make a bit of an error. He gave the ball away. Arsenal did defend well to get back. But is Saliba a little bit tired? Maybe. But playing in that position, he's got the best chance to recover as well. Magambo says, we missed the first half. We did the job now. The pressure is on City, but Liverpool is sneaky and are still in need of both of them to lose. Plus, Chelsea's getting karma for killing football. I mean, we don't need Liverpool necessarily to drop points because I think that we can win our remaining four games potentially. But it's going to be a big, big challenge for us to be able to do that. But I think potentially that it is there for us. Salahuddin says, are you confident about the Spurs match? We almost ended first half like we did against Bayern in the first leg as well. Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. There were certainly some opportunities for Chelsea in there. But I'm still very, very confident to go into that game against Spurs. Alan says, Tom, does intention come into White scoring the goal of the season? I guess maybe it wouldn't. Maybe they might count that against him. Potentially they may not look at Ben White's goal as anything other than a bit of a fluke, so I don't know, but it's one to look out for, that goal of the month award, because if it was intentional, it'd be being talked about like it was one of the best goals of the month. So yeah, one to look out for. Ben says, I can't believe Raya is about to grab the golden boot. He's certainly not going to be grabbing the golden boot, Ben, but he might grab the golden glove, and we're still going to need a replacement. What do you think? I think it's actually maybe a little bit humbling of Raya's biggest critics, of which I've certainly been there along the line of people that have found reason to criticise at certain times, and he's not necessarily convinced me. And I do maintain that, you know, if Arsenal can find somebody better, it's not the worst thing in the world to suggest that Arsenal should do that. You know, there's nothing wrong with being ruthless in a transfer market and trying to find those right players. But I think with David Raya, it's still a massive, massive achievement to win the Golden Glove in his first season with Arsenal, and it is telling. But it's also, of course, a big help because of the defence that is also in front of him. You know, Gabriel and Saliba there, Ben White and a raft of left-back options. So, yeah, there's plenty to be positive about with David Raya, but it is worth the context of pointing out who is indeed in front of him too. JC says, I know it was a cameo for Fabio Vieira, but he looked really sharp last night. I still think there's an Arsenal level player there. Do you? I think there's potential there, but we need to see a lot more of Fabio Vieira as well. Vanna Duty says, do we have a space in the squad for a player with killer pace? I know Jackson isn't the best example, but it's very hard to defend against. Also, didn't VAR look at the potential red card? Yeah, we didn't really touch on that because we've not had to. But without question, it's a red card for Jackson. I don't know how it's not even a yellow. It's dangerous. It studs up. It's down on the ankle. It's 100% a red card. And for the second game in a row after Kilman's tackle on Havertz, which was also for me a red card, it's not being given. And, you know, whilst I don't necessarily in retrospect agree with Nottingham Forest releasing the statement in the fashion that they did, you can absolutely empathise with the reasons behind them, because officiating at this level is just simply not good enough. Let's go to Ollie says, hey, Tom, minor correction, Man City has 4 away games. Oh, sorry, 4. There you go. 4 away games in the last 6 games. I'm more than happy for you to correct me on that, my friend. Harry says, do you think Partey starts the rest of the season? And don't you think it's ironic that cold Palmer got a cold in the most important game of the season? Yeah, any Chelsea fans using that, by the way, as some kind of excuse. Arsenal didn't have Bukayo Saka when they beat Manchester City, so you can put that to bed straight away. But do I think Partey could start the remaining games? If he stays fit, there's no reason why he shouldn't be starting the remaining games of this season. Sean says, hi Tom, I luckily managed to grab a ticket on the exchange on my lunch break yesterday. The atmosphere was unreal. Is it true that the first time that we've started Rice, Odegaard and Partey since the Community Shield? Yes, it is true. That is the last time that they started together in midfield. My goodness me, what we have missed over the course of this campaign. Ben says, do you think we'll continue to play Martinelli through this bad patch? Do you think it could cost us? I mean, Trossard deserves to start games. Martinelli needs to continue to come off the bench at this stage. Trossard is the guaranteed starter. He's established himself there. His form is absolutely excellent. He's scoring goals for fun. He's very consistent in that. And he's really putting to bed that old mantra that he's only good as a substitute. I tried to tell people that that's not the case. You know, he performs when he starts games. And once again, he performed very, very well. That touch, by the way, you know, with the ball's kind of behind him and he kind of lifts his leg up behind him as he's running to flick the ball forwards. Absolutely glorious. Mr. Reese says, how bad were the commentators saying Trossard should be booked when he accidentally stood on the Chelsea right back's foot, yet no comment on the studs up tackle on Tomiyasu in the first half by Jackson? I don't remember the actual bit where they talked about Trossard and the yellow card. Maybe I was distracted. I do remember them not really commenting on the Tomiyasu incident because that was a blatant red card. Ian says, Tom, I seen a stat last night that our last four Premier League games we haven't scored in. Jesus has been our striker. I see what you mean. So the last four Premier League games that we haven't managed to score in, Jesus was our striker. Do you think that we should sell him in the summer? Maybe they put Manchester City in the 0-0 result there because he didn't really start as a striker in that game. Do I think we should sell him in the summer? I don't think so. I think that the idea is that we'll probably sell Nketiah in the summer and then we'll bring another centre-forward in and Jesus will become something of an option for us in those attacking positions so that we can compete better across multiple tournaments. So no, I wouldn't sell Jesus in the summer. I would be more open to selling Zinchenko, but no, I don't think that I would be selling Jesus in the summer. K.Way says, with quick turnaround between games, what's the procedure after a midweek evening game? Are the players off today recovering or focusing on training? Surely not normal training. So yeah, it's a really good question, actually. On a Tuesday game, I think today will indeed be something of an off day or recovery. Players do need, you know, time off. It's important to give them that rest. But there's also options for recovery. And there's an expectation of recovery. I imagine they'll probably have a day off today. I think they'll have a recovery day with a little bit of light training on Thursday, a proper training session on Friday. Of course, they've still got Saturday as well. So I'd be surprised if they weren't given a day or maybe even two off in the last 2 days, today and tomorrow. Then a recovery session maybe on the Friday before a big session on Saturday. Tottenham, of course, have been off and not been playing these last couple of weeks. They're going to be fully rested. But you can say fully rested, or you can say maybe they're not going to be, you know, sharp, match sharp, because they've not been playing and Arsenal have. And maybe that will stand in Arsenal's advantage on Sunday. But yeah, that's usually the way it goes if there's midweek games. There's a lot of focus on recovery. It's usually a light training session and mainly kind of, you know, physio work to help the players recover better. Raf joins us in the chat, says, do you think that we should be worried by the red card decisions that we're not getting? It hasn't mattered, so it hasn't been really the talking point, but we've had two clear reds now not given. It matters if it matters in a game, Raf, doesn't it? And as you say, at the moment, it hasn't done, so it hasn't really become a talking point. It will become a problem if it doesn't materialize in a game where it really does matter and ultimately they should have deserved one. I think about the games this season, we've not got the results and the decisions that have gone against us. I'm thinking about the West Ham game when the ball for me was certainly out of play. I'm thinking about the Aston Villa game when Douglas Luiz definitely fouled Gabriel Jesus in the box. I'm thinking about the Fulham game, we deserve to lose that. I think Liverpool, you could argue maybe the Odegaard thing went our way a little bit, and Manchester City, I don't think there's anything in that game really that went against us. But I suppose the Aston Villa and the West Ham games do come to mind as times where the decisions have not gone in our direction. St James's Park, Newcastle as well, of course, was another one where maybe we should have got something better because of the ridiculous decisions that are on the day. Stuart says, Tom, obviously the club needs to be careful with Timber and not rush him back, but when do you think it's likely we'll see him? I think Bournemouth, there's maybe a chance we see him. We might see him for Bournemouth. He might play another youth game. He might play an in-house game, of course, but maybe Bournemouth. Maybe that's when we'll see him. I'll be very surprised if he's in the squad for Spurs, but maybe Bournemouth is where we'll see him. Gutema says, home defeat to Aston Villa was a shock. We could have had a hands on the trophy. I'm not expecting City to lose a single point. Sorry, Gunners. And to be honest, I'd be very surprised if City did drop any points. They are a machine. They just keep going. I wouldn't say the Aston Villa defeat at home was a shock. Aston Villa have got a very good record against us, actually. But it was obviously a big disappointment. It highlighted that our finishing in the first half was a big, big problem. We didn't put the chances that we created that we should have done away. Derek says, Tom, with this win, it sends a message to City. Last year, there was none of this as they knew we would fall off. But this time, they really can't afford to, as we're right there and probably shocked. Yeah, I think the pressure is absolutely of a higher standard than it was last season. I'm trying to think of what what was the result fourth game from the end for Arsenal? Was it the Brighton home game? Let's have a quick look. Scroll back over our fixtures back into the end of last season. It's going to be painful to do this, but I think it's important. So it was Let's have a look. What were the last results of the season? Where's the Wolves game? Because obviously we played... Was it Wolves? No, it was Everton the last game of the season, wasn't it? We drew... Where did we lose to Nottingham Forest? Oh, this... I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm looking in 2022. That's why I can't find anything. In 2023, in May, we... Our fourth game before the end was a win over Newcastle, to be fair, which kind of kept us in it. We'd lost to Man City two games before that, beaten Chelsea 3-1, then beaten Newcastle, then we lost to Brighton, and then we lost to Nottingham Forest. So, and I think there was an argument. I think that were City playing at Everton and Gundogan scored that kind of back overhead kick weird finish, and then we went and lost to Brighton, and it kind of just at that point, it kind of ended everything for us. So, yeah, I suppose with four games left, yes, we'd won our game against Newcastle to keep the pressure on somewhat, but Man City still had, I think, a similar number of games left. Now they have six games to play. They've got more chances to slip up. And so that's the difference, I guess, at this stage. If I have a quick look at the table, Newcastle... if I have a look at the table of what it was when Arsenal beat Newcastle 2-0, usually it shows me on the BBC website what the table was at that point. Yeah, so at this time... Oh, sorry, no, this is 2022. I need 2023. Give me the... Was it 2-0? Yeah, it was 2-0. Here it is. The table after this game was Arsenal had played a game more, had three games left instead of four games left when they beat Newcastle, and they were on 81 points. Manchester City had played a game less and they were on 82 points. We then lost to Brighton, lost to Nottingham Forest, and then gave up the lead. But I suppose you could say that ironically, the Chelsea game, therefore, the 3-1 win over Chelsea, that was the game where there was still four games remaining. So ironically, we've played Chelsea at the same stage of the season as well. But yeah, the table was very different at this point. Man City, of course, could make the table exactly the same as if they win their two games in hand. But I think the pressure is very, very different. Very different indeed. I mean, it's probably best we have a look at that Chelsea result as well from last season. So 3-1 it was against Chelsea last season in 23. The table at that point, Arsenal were top. Oh, this is actually quite interesting. So Arsenal were top by 2 points at the same stage last season. And Man City were second, having played two games less, but they were only 2 points behind Arsenal. So the difference is Arsenal are 2 points better off at the same stage this season compared to last season. So we're 2 points better off at this stage than we were in terms of kind of context to where our rivals are. Man City still had two games in hand on us at this stage, but it's important to point out that they're only 2 points behind last time, whereas this time they're 4 points behind, where they can only afford one slip up. So that is a very interesting point, actually. And kind of also it shows you the progression compared to City this season. We've got closer. We've closed the gap this season and we put ourselves into a better position as well. Bizarre says, if we win all our games, is it guaranteed the title? No, it's not. Because if City win all their games, they win the league. So that's where we're at. We need City to draw one. If City draw one game and we win all our games, I think we will win the league. That is a big ask. A very, very big ask indeed. Let's go to Knowledge. He says, what is the minimum amount of games Timber would need to play to get a winner's medal? Five. He would need to play five games, I think, which means that he would have to have played a part. I don't know if it counts the Community Shield. I don't think it does. So he would have to play a part in the game against Spurs, and then he'd have to play in the Bournemouth game. He'd have to play in the Man United game, and he'd have to play in the Everton home game on the final day. So yeah, very, very interesting indeed. If indeed Timber is in the squad against Spurs, you bring him on for 5 minutes, is it because they think that they think they might be able to get him a medal? But yeah, very intriguing to see if indeed. I wonder if that's something that he'll say. Will he be knocking on the door saying, I think I'm ready, boss. Put me in the squad. Just bring me on for a minute at the end of the game. Just in case. If we're winning, just bring me on for a minute at the end of the game. You know, it'd be very intriguing. Ajmal says, I was hoping Brighton to get something out of the City game. Check Brighton's recent results and just sighed. Yeah, they're not in great form at all. Jason says, Havertz 5 out of 10 in the first half of the season. Second half, oh my. Good composure, great goals, excellent celebration. Is that in the first half? 5 out of 10 for his first half performance. Second half, oh my goodness. great composure. Probably a 10 out of 10 display in the second half. And yeah, 5-6 out of 10 the first half. I wouldn't be too far off that. I think he was disappointing, but still did some really good things, some good touches, good link-up play, and still certainly contributed. And Granny Poo says there's over 1,500 people watching. There's 400 likes. Come on, smash the like button. There is indeed. There's actually 1,800 of you across all of our platforms. If you're listening on Twitter, make sure you hop over to YouTube because you can get involved with the chat box and ask questions and throw them in, and we can try and tackle them. Ghost Miller says, today I'm happy Tom Arteta proved me wrong once again, but he needs to prove me wrong all the time. But Chelsea can hold that. Come on, you Gooners. I mean, if Arteta's not proven you wrong by this point, I don't know what to say, mate. Derek says, attack Spurs early, Tom. They will not be at the pace and breathing heavy early, hopefully. Yeah, I'm not so sure. They are elite athletes. You know, I'm not sure it's as simple as that. But I do agree that we need to attack them early and try and get an early goal to take the pressure off of that game and put the expectation onto Spurs. Mark says Ben White's goal was a bit like Jesus's little lob last season. Benjamin was a better, as it was a lovely volley and another brilliant pass from Ødegaard as well. King says, Tom, are you going to be doing a call-in show before the Spurs game? I'm not sure I'm going to be able to squeeze one in. Got a busy week. We will hopefully this week get a preview though for your North London derby on Friday. I am aiming to get you one of those. So I don't think there'll be a phone in, but there should be a preview for you on Friday. What there is going to be tonight though, speaking of which, and it's great to see Sophie in the chat box, is there going to be a show tonight on the Highbury Squads. I'm going to be joining Sophie. Hopefully another couple of friendly and familiar faces will also be with us on the show to have a bit of a breakdown and a talk, and maybe someone can answer for the bet that they made with me at the start of the season on tonight's show as well. So make sure you're tuning in at 7:30 over on the Highbury Squad tonight, because there'll be another show for you with plenty of familiar faces. It's been a while since I've gone on other channels. I don't know why. It's not an intentional break. But yeah, I haven't been jumping on or hopping onto other channels for a little bit recently. I've been insanely busy. Arsenal, of course, have been very busy playing almost every other day pretty much, but it's going to be nice to hop over to another show, and what another show to hop over to. So make sure you join us over there at 7:30 UK time. And Lucas says, I hope Anne Hathaway had a good day. You're absolutely right. Anne Hathaway, the you know, very much admitted Arsenal fan now after her interview. Love that video, by the way. If you've not seen it, you must be living under a rock. But I absolutely loved the celebration at Trossard's goal. That was great. Jordan says, should we focus on signing a pacey, I think that meant to say, a pacey winger and midfielder, and give Havertz a chance as our main centre forward next season, especially considering the lack of standout strikers in the market? I think we need to try and sign both, mate, to be honest. We need to replace Nketiah, bring in another top striker, and also bring in a very good, fast, attacking winger to add to the options that we've got as well. Matt says, Tom, can you get Anne Hathaway on the show? Anne, if you're watching and you'd like to come on TGT, it does require you to wear an Arsenal away shirt, but we'd be more than welcome to accommodate you, Anne. So, yes, we'd be more than happy to have Anne Hathaway on the show, but I very much doubt that that is feasible. Anyway, we're going to bring the show to an end there. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Appreciate your time, as always. Please make sure you drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new around here with those notifications turned on so you never miss a show. You can join me, Sophie, and some fantastic guests on the Highbury Squad at 7:30 tonight for a good chat about yesterday's game and a look ahead to the final four matches of the season. We'll be live, of course, while some Premier League action is going on, so we'll be reacting to some of that as it unfolds. But yeah, indeed, have a fantastic day. Stay safe, stay well, happy and respectful, and as always, up the Arsenal. Waka waka. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dip in, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.